Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Well, I'm very proud of Curtis. He is in Palm Beach. He's in Jupiter. And he has now become a flawless tech guy. No problems connecting today. 9 a.m. In fact, you connected
Well,
like
I will
7
have to tell on myself somewhat. So the Browers, who live next to my parents, a much bigger achiever than my dad, a very nice house here. And
what a shot at John Curtis. Jeez.
Just kidding. I'm surrounded by artwork. This time, at least there isn't a painter here with me the whole show as last time. But so I'm in the other closet, which is where the modem was. And I'm like moving all the stuff around. I'm like, what in the hell? 25 minutes. And then Mr. Brower, Bill, comes in and he's like, yeah, it's just right here to your left. You just put the thing in here. Total moron. But anyway, very grateful to be here and happy to be heading back to the freezing northeast tomorrow.
So. Yeah, 29 degrees where I am in Downingtown in the Philadelphia suburbs, heading back to Boston today. So you and I will be back.
You and your mom get into politics at dinner?
Nope. We have a no politics agreement. We are on opposite sides of the political spectrum. Which
I love
good.
It. It's all good.
All truce. Now,
what about Maya? Did she get into it a bit?
Oh, yeah. She wants to get into it. I'm trying to hold her back.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
Now, Soto, we went into this last week. I was excited. I gave it a 9% chance of happening. Is it outrageous to have my percentage jumping up to 29%? I mean, I am feeling 20% better than last week. There is a lot of smoke. Even you must have been caught up in some of this, right? I mean, there are insiders, there are outsiders, there is everybody connecting Soto to the Red Sox. And it's going to happen soon.
I derive a massive amount of enjoyment from seeing the fake accounts ever since I got duped by the coffee shop. So with Swayman, with the neck contorted in a way that would never make sense. Another moronic moment for yours truly. But
well, I thought you were going to go back to the Eric Shunt. I mean, that's...
That was Courtney's, that was her, magnum opus. But the amount of people that just create these accounts that all of a sudden get 20,000 followers now, and it's like, I'm hearing, and then it's getting retweeted. I hope that the Red Sox brass understands how awful it will be, the fiercest blowback since Mookie left, and maybe more, if they don't come back with anything when they return from the outlets or the mall later today. Like, if they don't come back with legitimate frontline pitching, legitimate middle-of-the-order bats, and a roster that is ready for the playoffs on opening day, it will be one of the fiercest reactions to a offseason I can remember in my lifetime.
Well, right, but you don't mean it's Soto or bust, correct? Like, you're fine.
Well, the goalposts have already started moving by people like you, where it's like, oh, even if it's not Soto, Jim Bowden now today says in The Athletic, I see them adding a bat, Teoscar Hernandez and Santander, which I thought was a bank, are more likely than Soto. So, well,
but that's fine.
Know.
Like, you, no franchise can be sure they're getting Soto. It's at his whim. He's going to have multiple teams to pick from at great salaries. So you can't really get upset for couching the blow of a fan base that maybe you're not going to get Soto. You can't count on that. It's just a hope. But
this is why I don't understand the full court media press by this ownership group, if not to just short-term capitalize on ticket sales based on hope, right? The only reason you announce this in the middle of November or the start of November is because you see where the season ticket renewal rate is, which is in the toilet. You see the interest in buying single-game tickets is gone, and you have to do something to generate interest so that you can sell tickets.
Well, I can't rule that out, and let me tell you why.
But you agree that's the only reason they would do this.
Well, but to connect the dots there, you would have to say then that Mike Rodriguez, MLB reporter, is getting his information directly from the Red Sox, which definitely could be possible. In fact, it's likely, right?
Ken, it doesn't have to be directly from the Red Sox. Everybody benefits from the perceived interest in star players by the sleeping giant of the Red Sox. So that's why we all knew about the six-hour paella with Scott Boris and Juan Soto.
Yeah, because but you eventually find out the info. Didn't we find out what they did offer Mookie eventually?
Right, Ken. I tried to do this in the morning, and nobody gets it. I work with people that can't conceptualize basic knowledge. The only reason we know about this is because it benefits the parties involved uniformly.
So, I get it. But can I explain something to you? If they've not offered Soto the reported 12 years, $600 million, we're going to find out eventually when this is all said and done. And
but you're not going to find out until the deal is signed, because it benefits Soto even if it's fake.
I agree. Sorry about that. Am I still with you? Oh, man. Oh, Curtis is lashing back at me. Curtis, you're still with us. We may have lost Curtis, actually, in that hole. Oh, boy. Let's reconnect with Curtis and get him on the line. In the meantime, here's the report. It's from Mike Rodriguez, MLB insider, broadcaster, former analyst for the Cubs in Spanish. That's according to his Twitter site. I got to admit, I did not know Mike Rodriguez before this report. And it's in Spanish, but translated. The Red Sox have a 12-year, $50 million per year deal on the table to Juan Soto, who spoke on the phone with Rafael Devers for about an hour about the Sox. And Mike reports that Soto is interested in the idea of going to the Red Sox, and they are a strong contender. Hector Gomez later piled on, 13 years, $625 million is what he's hearing the offer could be. So those are the reports out there. And I was talking to Bradfoe via text and, you know, asking him, does he trust these guys? And basically he says, of course, or I shouldn't say of course, he believes them because the Red Sox know the money it will take to get this deal done. Therefore, it's possible that the Red Sox did float these to reporters, and they know it's not outrageous money. That's what he's going to sign for eventually. My concern as a Sox fan would be, eventually, we probably will find out from Soto's camp what the Red Sox actually did offer. So if they don't have this on the table, it could make them look bad in a couple weeks, a couple months. And I'm not sure the fan base could handle that. So I'm trying to convince myself there's no way they would do this on a fake basis. They actually have this offer out there, which is great, and then it's up to Soto to make the call. Now, Rosenthal talked about this as well. I want to play that clip for you when we come back. I think Curtis's Jupiter connection has to reset, so we're going to have Co do trending. We'll reconnect with Curtis. We'll play the Ken Rosenthal clip and then get into whether you actually believe this could happen. But I'm starting to get sucked in. I mean, I was already sucked in. 10% last week. I'm up to 30% now. It's going to happen this week. It's Soto week. And yes, Curtis is right. They've got to supplement that with some pitching. Max Fried, Corbin Burns. Wouldn't hurt if they added a Teoscar Hernandez, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll continue to discuss this. But first, here's Cohen. What's trending?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics kept their NBA Cup hopes alive last night with a 138-129 win over the Bulls in Chicago. Jason Tatum led the way with 35 points. Peyton Pritchard posted a career-high 29 points, including 19 in the fourth quarter. Celtics will need Orlando to beat the Knicks in order to have a chance to advance as the Eastern Conference wild card on point differential. Next up for the Seas, a regular season matchup in Cleveland with the Cavs. That one's tomorrow night, tip-off at 6 p.m. Charlie Coyle got things started for the Bruins with a goal in the first 2 minutes of the game, but that's all the Bruins would get. They fell at home to the Penguins 2-1 the final. Next up, the Centennial Game matchup with Montreal tomorrow at the Garden. Puck drop set for 3 p.m. Final preparations are underway for the Patriots' Week 13 matchup against the Colts. Team has already ruled out guard Cole Strange as he works his way back from knee surgery. Wide receiver DeMario Douglas, safeties Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers, and defensive end Dietrich Wise are among those listed as questionable. Pats and Colts kick off from Gillette Stadium tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. Final week of the regular season in college football underway. Among the notable games today, Michigan heading to Ohio State, Auburn at Alabama, Texas A&M hosting Texas, and the Boston College Eagles are hosting the Pitt Panthers. Don't forget, you can hear coverage of that BC game right here on WEEI, starting with pregame at 2:30, with kickoff set for 3 p.m. from Alumni Stadium. My name is Zach Cohen, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
We're back, Ken and Curtis, on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
The Red Sox, after sleepwalking through the past.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Last few off seasons have finally arisen and awakened, and they're acting like a big market team should.
Ken Rosenthal, they have arisen. They have awoken. If I had a newspaper, Curtis, that'd be on the headline. That'd be the front page.
My first day producing Dennis and Callahan, which was Monday, April 1st, 2013, I had Ken Rosenthal on to talk about Jackie Bradley Jr.
Nice job. Good booking.
Well, I got yelled at for like a month about that. Anyway, but he has nice bow ties. Very nice gentleman.
Was he on the round table from spring training?
Hello, my friends. Good morning. he was not. He had some falling out with somebody. I forget what was it. Was it the commissioner? An MLB? I don't know. Anyway, I'm very hopeful. Not I'm hopeful. I hope that they do actually spend.
You're hopeful they don't. You are not.
What are you talking about? It would be beneficial for the radio station. All I could tell them about is how we need the Red Sox to be good. Well, let's do it. Let's see it.
You are giddy every time they fail.
No, I'm right every time they fail. You don't have the proper word. You're the idiot that has been saying they'll be good and they've been awful.
I mean, they hit the over last year. Was I right about that? Yes. Now, give me your percent chance. Last week you were low. I think you were 4%.
That Juan Soto comes to the Red Sox?
Yes.
I'm feeling optimistic. I'm going to put it at 1.2%.
So you think this is all just
right.
covering their butt, getting the word out?
It's like news. Some of our listeners' blood alcohol right now leaving the malls.
It is just interest kings again. God, that would be so sad if they're not even legitimate. So you don't even think they have the offer. The offer's not even real.
Of course not. If you're actually engaged and you want to get someone, you don't tell everyone what you're doing. The guy that runs the franchise said to you at the conclusion of the regular season that they were not going to publicly discuss their plans on spending because it gives other core organizations a competitive advantage. And now you're believing it?
But I explained that to you last week. It makes total sense. You're trying to create buzz for Max Fried, Corbin Burns, and others that you want to
sign. Do you think the Red Sox in 2003 were concerned with creating buzz?
Sure they were.
What are you talking about? What?
I mean,
creating buzz. The tickets were sold out before the season. There were 15s on Nesson.
When you're trying to engage with A-Rod, I mean, sometimes it goes beyond money. There have to be other things. Good point by a texter, 207 texter. Other than money, what does Soto want? In New York, in L.A., he'd be just another guy, just a jag.
In Boston,
face of the franchise that needs it. That's big.
Has he been to Sam LaGrasse's? Great sandwiches.
That's the text of the day, 207. And then you got 781 texter. I feel this is Boris leaking the story because he knows the Mets and the Yankees will bump up their offers.
Okay. Other than money, you might as well just go home. That's all. And it just, for all of us, it's not baseball. I mean, other than money, everything we do is predicated upon money. And so the notion that Juan Soto is going to fall in love with David Ortiz,
Wait,
can you correct me if I'm wrong? Because, you're the more of a seam head. God love you. Last year, didn't Alex Cora advise Justin Turner against signing here?
Yes, he kind of did, yeah.
Okay, so the manager of the team was telling people to go away, and now we think he's a draw?
What, Cora?
Yeah, well, the whole thing, Big Poppy is going on the phone call. David Ortiz spends as much time in Boston as Greg Hill does in Wegmans. I mean,
I see Cora around. I mean, I see Ortiz around a lot. He was at...
Watch out today. If you're heading to the Braintree split, you might bump into him. I mean, he's not around. And God, I wouldn't be around either. I'd be in a warmer place. I'm not blaming Ortiz. I'm sitting here in Florida. I love it. I would never leave.
He used to have a home here. He had an unfortunate breakup, I guess. But whatever. He's still around. He came the winter weekend. He was at Joe Castiglione's
Absent being paid, when is he in Boston?
I mean, he makes a few. I don't know. When absent being paid.
He was at winter weekend. You get paid to go to winter weekend. I mean, he goes and does things as a ambassador of the organization. He doesn't just do it because he's, trying to get to Roach Brothers.
Okay, but if you're Soto, you do want to talk to him, and that's important.
Right, but the Red Sox that David Ortiz was a part of bear no resemblance to this Red Sox.
That's the
point.
Nothing. You are the guy that brings it back. You're the new Ortiz. I think that's what he's trying to sell him on.
Yeah,
I think the Yankees are out. I think the Mets are a definite threat. There's no doubt.
I think the Red Sox would have been far better served lying in wait in coming up with Teoscar Hernandez as opposed to saying they're going to get Soto and not getting him.
And just say nothing. And just
right.
But then people get pissed off that you're not even in. You can't win.
Ken, if they said nothing, all I would be saying is, yep, another offseason of nothing. And then they bring in Teoscar Hernandez and Max Fried and be like, wow, that's a good offseason. That's awesome. Let's go.
By the way, Max Fried, according to our Rob Bradford, chatted with... who's their pitcher that they signed last year? What's his name?
Lucas Giolito,
high school teammate.
Giolito, right.
Yeah, so Giolito's wooing Fried as we speak, so bang.
Do the Red Sox lead the league in signing guys that immediately get season-ending injuries?
I do worry about that. No, whether they sign Fried or Burns, 30-year-old guys who have never been hurt, I don't think.
Do you think that the Red Sox should hire Mayo's brother as their new strength coach?
Are we sure that's Mayo's brother? Maybe it's just a coincidence.
I don't know. It was so awesome for so long. Like, it was just great. We spent 2018, finished the World Series, and then we're like, oh, wow, the Patriots might be okay this year. Then they win the Super Bowl. Then the Bruins are in the Cup Final, Game 7. I mean, and now we're sitting here praying for Giolito to convince some guy to come here.
Well, the Bruins have hit rock bottom, and they scored one
they
goal
suck.
Again at home. They really
God,
suck.
Do they suck.
Look like, I thought the Islanders had broken them out of the spell, but they stink. It's just the Celtics. I was actually thinking of this driving over here today to my Philadelphia studios. If you had to put out, because Pritchard, everyone loves Pritchard, right? P. Pritch. Great, epic fourth quarter. 19
Wait,
points
are you actually at IP?
No. Just, I'm at a hotel, and so I came to my brother's place to set up. So I was just driving over here, a 10-minute drive. So Pritchard is so loved by the fans. He might be like top five fan favorite in town right now. I don't know that there would be any Red Sox on that list. There probably are no Bruins on that list, right? I mean, you might have Drake May. You might have Gonzalez, but I don't know. But it's probably all Celtics in the top five.
Right.
If you had to list your top five favorite Boston athletes right now, would that be all Celtics?
For me, it would probably be Grayson James, Billy O'Brien. No, five favorite? I mean, what is this? Like, what, second grade? My favorite...
Well, we did Mount Rushmore last week. We're not above
well,
it.
Well, so. I mean, well, those are presidents. I would say
like,
number one and two in whatever
Devers,
order.
Did Devers and Durant make your list? I do like
Devers
Jared Durant.
Devers and Durant? Didn't Durant get canceled? I would say number one is Tatum. Number two is Brown. Number three would be my main man, Porzingis.
People love D. White. People love Horford.
I mean, P. Pritch. If I hear one more person in the morning call him P. Pritch, I'll just be happy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you might be all five Celtics.
To me, the biggest star in Boston sports is Tatum. Number two is Brown. Number three is Drake May.
But Marsh is not on the list. Pastrnak's off.
Oh,
Swayman's off. McAvoy's off.
No. See you later. No Bruins. I would not put... Devers today could go into the Natick Mall and walk around, and 90% of the people wouldn't know he's there.
Poor Devers. In the meantime, let's go to Peter on the Cape talking about Juan Soto. Good morning, Peter.
Yeah, hey, first of all, best show on WEEI, bar none. You guys are the new Mustard and Johnson, RIP LJ.
Absolutely.
And Ken, you need to remove your head from the Red Sox ownership's hindquarters. They are not, they're not even remotely interested in Soto. They're doing it for the pub, and that's it. They're not interested. So it's all a ruse.
Well, then,
so, anyhow,
I mean, then they've duped every major reporter across America, right? I mean, because everybody is saying it's a different...
Yes, because most reporters are like you and Bradford with their heads in the hindquarters of the Fenway ownership group. Also, Chime Zahardo, take care.
Yeah.
Chime is Zahardo.
He sure is.
But you're going to get some Chime today. Are you ready for it? Mego and Chime, noon to 2:30 today.
Shime's back from England already?
He is back, and he will explain his England adventures, such that they were.
Wow. Well, hope it was a nice trip. I what was he just saying about the...
Head up the hindquarters of Soto, of the Red Sox ownership group.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say that the Red Sox offseason is going to be... You know, they'll be in on a guy or two. They have lost the benefit of the doubt in this entire offseason.
I get that, but to say that they're not interested at all, that's just, now you're just hating. I mean, they're interested, obviously.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. So, do you remember in 2003, the New York Times, Fox News, everybody was buying in hook, line, and sinker about weapons of mass destruction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because all parties were served. The military industrial complex, the media, the Bush White House... Everybody benefited, except obviously the thousands and thousands of people that would recklessly lose their lives due to incompetency from our intelligence and administration with George and Dick there. But everybody said it. Everybody believed it because it was like this avalanche of oncoming news. And if you said you weren't interested in it, if you said it wasn't a good idea, then it was, oh, you're fine with Iraq becoming a nuclear enemy, whatever. And it was the opportunity for dissent became slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. And what happens in a series like this, when everybody benefits from the perception of interest by a big franchise, then it doesn't get corrected until months after the fact. Just like we didn't know about John Lester until after he signed. We don't know about the offers to Mookie Betts until after he leaves. We find out once a guy's gone and the agent no longer needs to live under the pretense, false or accurate, of an offer.
This is what I said when you disconnected. I jinxed you and your equipment.
Right. No, failed. I unplugged the wrong thing. It was entirely my fault.
That's just classic. Like 10 minutes after I praised your technical expertise.
But just say I suck.
If we find out that they, and we will find out, what their actual offer was at some point, that would be unforgivable if they actually were not in for $600 million.
More unforgivable than trading Mookie Betts?
Yes.
More unforgivable than what they've done? Like, Ken, Mookie, this is who they are.
That's who they were, but you heard.
So what changed?
Ken Rosenthal just told you.
No.
They have woken up.
So it was like a hibernation.
Yeah. It was pretty much what it was, yeah. They hibernated during COVID. Renicky was here, and then it's
Well, they didn't
time.
Hibernate. They bought a hockey team.
That's correct. And that
Good. Well, those Penguins,
well.
Big win last night.
I guess they did beat the Bruins last night. 2-1 win. Comeback win.
What do they think about the Henrys over in your old neck of the woods?
I think it's people are restless, but I don't know that they blame the Fenway Sports Group for their problems because they bought a team that had aging stars and they're just trying to keep it around and they're in an awkward situation. It's like the end of the Brady era, you know? It's just you're trying to keep it together, but you know it can't last.
Do you think Dale will still be doing Bruins games when James graduates high school?
Do you want to congratulate Dale for coming out of retirement?
I mean,
working
unbelievable.
Nesson tonight? Great job by Dale, I got to say. I mean, that's impressive. I'll be happy to see him back. Maybe he will inspire the team.
It is an amazing return. I mean, Nesson is just so is Sophia just not coming back the whole year?
I don't know. That's a very I know she's friends of the show and of Greg's.
Yeah, we hope everything's
well.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy. But yeah, Dale's back tonight. You know, maybe he'll be what the team needs. Maybe he should replace Sacco.
Maybe 30 games this year on the broadcast.
Oof. I mean, don't get me all excited if it's not going to happen. I mean, they just won the Soundbites Broadcast Play-by-Play of the Year. I don't know if you can go any higher than that.
You can't. That's Massachusetts Broadcast.
Do you have that or no?
I do. It's in my office, yeah.
I love it.
I mean, I'll probably give it to Doug Lane, who deserves it. He's at the nerve center of our Red Sox broadcast all year.
In all sincerity, so if we're sitting here today, it's the last day of November. What do you anticipate the opening day expectations for the Red Sox to be?
Wild card. Right? I mean, the playoffs are bust. They need to make the postseason.
Okay, playoffs are bust is different than maybe wild card.
That's 88 wins.
Oof, 88 wins.
Yes.
Like Dale Earnhardt.
I love the 88. I mean, that's not unreasonable if they do sink 80, 90 million bucks into the team.
Well, here's the key about Soto, Ken. I don't know if you know this. It's a win and a loss for the evil empire. You get him and the Yankees lose him.
Exactly.
I feel like he's going to the Mets. Are they the favorite?
They have to be. I mean, just based on the money that he could. I mean, they could go to $700 million. And you could say all you want, so it's not about the money at a certain point. But if the Red Sox offer $625 and Cohen offers $700, I'm assuming Soto's going to be swayed by the extra 60, 70 million bucks. Call me crazy. So, yes, he'll go to the Mets. But then, okay, if you sign Burns or Fried, who's your favorite? Who's your preferred? The righty or the
left? I couldn't tell you two things about either. I like Corbin Burns. It's got it's BC backwards.
He's got a good cutter, 95-mile-an-hour cutter.
Okay. I feel like whatever semblance of audience we have is falling. So let me ask you this question.
15-9 last year, 2.92 ERA. 32 starts in Baltimore. I'll check the whip. 3.5 okay, war.
Oh, I mean, I love a war. I think that's great. Speaking of Iraq. So, I find to me, the most interesting sports topic as we all get back after the Thanksgiving holiday is the It's not the on-the-field final five Patriots games. It's the future of the franchise, and it is that poll. Because I feel like so many people at the beginning of the year said, no matter what, Mayo's a year early, we're going to take our time, right? That was like the biggest cliche of all Patriots preview, correct?
Right.
So here we sit, and 70% of the respondents to one poll, whatever, but I would say that that meshes with my man-on-the-street conversations and seeing people around town, that people are disgusted by the state of the team, and a lot of their animus has been directed at the head coach.
You don't see people around town. You see people in Southie. You don't leave Southie.
Okay, well, where do you
leave? I mean, it's a section
Brookline?
Of town.
I mean, that's basically a commune.
Well, just don't mislead people. You're not walking through the West End. I mean, you're walking through Southie. So this is your anecdotal evidence.
Okay, I'll go every day. I'll go to a new part of Boston. It's going to be a West Roxbury Wednesday.
Thank you. That's a great idea, actually.
I think it's great. I would love to.
You know, Greg Hill on the old show used to do Walk for a Cause. I think you should bring that back.
Right.
You can take a little jar with you. People can, like, tip you on your way as you're walking. Raise money for the foundation.
I'm on Patreon. So I would say that the feeling of Patriots fans is deep frustration bordering on indifference. And if they bring back Gerard Mayo and they spend, which they have to because of the CBA, and everything else remains intact, I feel like Mayo will be the first one to fall next year, even if they bring him back and the team doesn't play well. Like, he has the unfortunate role of replacing a guy that won six Super Bowls and coaching a team that coach had totally thrown in the trash can when it comes to the talent of the roster. So part of me feels like it's best for everybody if they split at the end of the year, which would be totally unfair. I don't think it should happen. But the further we get along and the sort of inability of the organization to publicly state their support, the more I think it's a realistic possibility.
Well, and the other part of it is, if they decide they're going to stick with Mayo, you're going to let him then hire his coaches. There'll be some turnover on his staff, and then you're in. Like, you're in actually more next year than you were this year. I know that there was a build-up, and Kraft said he hired him 5 years ago, but you had a chance to see him, and now you're doubling down on him. So it's actually easier to fire him after 1 year than it would be midway through next year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I feel like if you wait, so if you don't fire him, and I know we have to keep repeating this because the audience keeps changing, you and I don't think it's Gerard Mayo's fault, correct?
It's not entirely his fault, and it's not fair.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's the wrong thing to do.
Correct. So if Gerard Mayo was brought back this summer, or as in, you know, they don't fire him, he's retained, then you're talking about a rebuild that should have begun in earnest in 2020, really resetting and beginning in 2026, because you're going to have a new coach who's got his new staff with a new coordinator, with the young quarterback. Like, it is going to be this constant three-year recycling of the same garbage, hoping for a brand new thing that looks good. And so this offseason, if Mayo was retained, and let's say, you know, this time next year he's fired, well, then Ben Johnson's on a new team. You're going to be entering year three of the rookie deal of Drake May with a brand new coach, and where are you?
Right. I don't like it, because look at the three coaches fired in the NFL this year. Robert Saleh, Jets. Saints fired Dennis Allen. Eberflus just gets the act in Chicago. Have any of those situations gotten markedly better? I mean, maybe New Orleans, I guess. But it's just the coaching change midseason in the NFL doesn't – it's not like the NFL. It's not like hockey where you can make a coaching change and it can spark you to a cup run. It's actually, like, doubly worse in the NFL. You're in disarray for the rest of the year, and then you're right. You missed out on the best candidates if you had just done it 6 months ago.
Right. And but the thing is that, unfortunately, when Robert Kraft's interests do not jive with that of the fan base, you get situations like this, where what Robert is asking himself now and this spring and summer is, how does this reflect upon my legacy? Not, how is this in the best interest of the football team? Does that make sense?
Well, and your report Is it a report? I mean, you're scuttlebutt.
No, I was talking to someone who's a family friend who's very well connected in the world of Boston's business world, the business world in Boston.
But it's actually mind-blowing to me. I mean, it's actually huge. If the Crafts are thinking about selling at some point in the near future, maybe not this offseason, but whenever
I did not say near future. I said when Jonathan ascends.
Right.
That is not something that he is... Like, I always assumed that it was just going to be his team, and he was going to finally, you know, he's like, you know, Prince Charles becoming king. Like, okay, my world now. I'm going to do things my way. See you later, Dad. It's not that at all, from what I was told. That this is not something that he is looking forward to, and that it very well could be a case where they sell.
But if that's the case, don't you think that dictates every decision they make between now and then? I mean, they have an exit date in mind. Therefore, it's going to impact what they do. When you, as a person, you know you're going to retire in 5 years, you start to clear the way for that to happen. For the person that replaces you and also the money that you can make when you sell the franchise in this case.
And it's just so frustrating. You know, you spend 20 years where everybody is just jockeying for position when it comes to talent, titles, and relevance in an incredibly overcrowded, successful sports media landscape. And now it's like, okay, well, how's your tax portfolio looking? Let's get the CPA on line three to figure out how much we'll owe if we sell it now. And what does this player do when it comes to the interests of Jeff Bezos in buying this team? Like, who cares about that?
Yeah,
but it actually stands to reason when you look at how haphazard it's been. Like, there hasn't been a direction of the Patriots of note. It's just been, okay, well, you know. There was far more time put into that stupid press conference where Bill and Robert didn't answer questions than there has been to anything about the future of the organization.
Well, the lighthouse.
And then it's the biggest jumbotron in the world. Oh, wow. How cool is that?
And they, to your point, they botched the statue. Brady's statue is even getting punted to another year. What a disappointment that is.
How dumb am I? They built the biggest jumbotron because they're trying to sell the team, and the stadium's just got a big new TV.
Exactly. They'll do the Fenway project around Gillette. That makes smart sense.
John Henry outlasts the Crafts as an owner in Boston. Now that would be a story.
Let's go to the phones and talk to Tim in Hanover on Mayo and roster building. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, gentlemen. Love the show as always.
Thank you.
Curtis, I love what you said earlier about the question you gave to Mayo and Mayo answered it. I think Mayo, since the very beginning, really hasn't been able to do much of anything. Wolf had May flop on his lap because he was number three no matter how you diced it and sliced it, and we wound up with him, and there was no decision that he had to really make. I'll tell you what, Mayo, he just went along with the program. I think of what he had to do and what he had to say since the very beginning, it was all those type of deals. He really never really answered it, saying, I did this, I did that. And I think that's been a huge deal. Now, going forward, I mean, I don't think they gave him a chance. Give him a chance. If you're really going to give this kid a chance, or guy, I should say, then give him the chance to do what he's got to do. Let him choose his own coaches. Get a different GM, because this GM, in my eyes, has done nothing for this team. And everything forward. It's just been a disaster.
I don't think I'd get in the world where Drake May chooses the coaches, the GMs, and all that. I think there is a happy medium between those two things. But if you're May...
I think he meant May. Gerard Mayo pick his GM, not Drake May.
I also don't... I mean, I guess... But this is what happened. Like, last offseason, they precluded from things that people were whispered to, that this wasn't Mayo's full staff, right? We heard that in some way, shape, or form.
Correct.
So whatever you lose in money that you have to put back into the organization would be repaid if this organization was heading in a direction that you didn't have to tinker with again. Because you were short-sighted about Mayo and building his own staff, you may end up firing Mayo and owe him all that money while hiring another top-of-the-tier head coach. Yeah. Like, it's just so foolish, right?
Well, Tankathon's working, and you have a chance to get Travis Hunter, so maybe that's the plan. They had a plan. Maybe
big that game is the plan. Hunting.
I love it. I love it. I want to actually, the teams that suck in the NFL this year, how many of them need quarterbacks? I just want to run through that exercise real quick with you to see It may not matter. You're right. The Patriots don't need one, so whoever they want may follow them.
And I also want to do an exercise in defense of Jerod Mayo where we flip coaches in every game this year and see which one they would have won.
Oh, geez. Okay. I will do that with you. It's the Ken and Curtis Show next.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
All right, so this is a pretty interesting exercise, Curtis, that you set me down over the last couple minutes here. And that was to re-examine the coaches that the Patriots went up against this year. And if you had flipped those coaches with Jerod Mayo, would the results have been any different?
Right.
And I know this defies a little bit of logic, but I think they win the last 2 weeks with better coaching. I know they don't have the roster that the Dolphins have, particularly a receiver. And I know they don't have the roster that the Rams have, particularly a receiver. But those were winnable games where coaching was putrid. Would we agree on that?
So I would absolutely, I would not, if you flip McDaniel and Mayo last week, the Dolphins, in my point of view, the Dolphins win that game. But the Rams, definitely, I say McVay and the Patriots would beat Mayo and the Rams, if that makes sense. The other games that I would potentially have shifted would be the Dolphins earlier in the year when you lose to their backup 15-10. I feel like Mike McDaniel might be able to get something there. And I don't know if it's a Callahan. What's the name of the Seahawks coach? I know he was a D coordinator with the
Mike
Seahawks.
Mike McDonald.
Mike McDonald, that's it. I don't know. But there's 2 to 3 maybe that I flip.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're looking at this team and you can say entirely it was on Jerod Mayo. Like, I think if you put the quarterbacks in the Seahawks game, the Patriots beat the Seahawks with Geno Smith. And if you flip the quarterbacks in Week 3 with the Jets, with Aaron Rodgers in that game playing at his, you know, Hall of Fame level, then they beat Jacoby Brissett. The issues on the team are all over the place. And what Jerod Mayo has done with his inability to react to these losses is he has put himself in a position, in a precarious position with his job, because if it was just on the field and there was none of the stuff off when it comes to we're soft, when it comes to I would coach differently, when it comes to the what he said, whatever, about the between the white lines, all of that, I don't think it's as big of a conversation. It might be 50-50, people saying bring him back or don't.
Part of
it's 70-30.
Yeah, but part of this is obviously the decision to start Drake May late, right? Because the first 5 games were all Jacoby Brissett games. So that's very difficult to go back and say a different coach would have won those games with the backup quarterback that everybody thought, well, most people thought shouldn't have been in there anyway, in hindsight. I just think I think everything was good for Jerod Mayo until the Rams' home loss. The decision to not put Gonzalez on Nacua or Kupp, and then you have the strip sack and the pick from Drake May. It was just poor coaching. I mean, just a bad game, and last week was even worse. Just having your defense get shredded and then players in the locker room laughing after the game. It's a horrible 2-game stretch. Maybe that's all it is. He's got to bounce back from that, and the team needs to look more cohesive point-blank period the rest of the way.
Yeah, and, you know, we always go back. I've had a back and forth briefly with Ty Law about this, about, you know, he's like, we had the culture, and then, you know, then they started winning with Bill Belichick. But Ty Law, Willie McGinnis, Ted Johnson, Teddy Bruschi, you know, all of those guys were not there. They were there before Bill Belichick became the head coach, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember in 2000, I was down in this part of the world. My dad and I went to a BC Miami football game right after Thanksgiving. Literally, it would have been 24 years ago. And we went, it was one of the most unbelievable Miami teams of all time. It was, I think it was.
We've talked about this. You and I were there for that same game.
Oh, that's right. So we were there in the Orange Bowl. It was 52-6. BC scored the first touchdown, missed the extra point, and then didn't score the rest of the game. The Miami fans were beating us up, and then they started beating each other up. It was quite the scene. But after that game, we went to dinner down on South Beach, as the Curtis boys are wont to do. We're just wild. And I saw Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, with Cuban cigars partying it up the day after they got – it was the day after Tom Brady made his professional debut in 2000 against the Detroit Lions in a game the Patriots got blown out in a season that they had been lost. They were very happy. They were having fun. The culture is predicated upon the expectation or demand to win. And back then, they were given opportunities to understand that it was a rebuild. There wasn't this immediate, angst from the fan base or the management team to win now. And those players who would become leaders on championship teams, the beginning of a dynasty, at that stage were not exhibiting those skills, if that makes sense.
I guess, but when you start not putting Gonzalez on a team's best receiver and the players start thinking they're not getting put in the best position to win, then I think it changes the way they view the coach. So it's dangerous territory to me when you start.
But the Patriots won eight games with Pete Carroll. He got fired. They won five with Bill Belichick. Was anybody saying to fire Bill at the end of 2000? And it's not like they ended well. That year, Bill Belichick started out 0-4, and then they won. They went 3-4-5-6, 3-6 to close out the year. I mean, they lost to – they went 5-11. Their only wins were against Buffalo, the Colts, Bronco. I mean, not a good season at all. So I don't know where they were. Their offensive rank that year was 25th in points scored. Their defense was 17th in points allowed. Middle of the pack, nothing great. 23rd in penalties. So not disciplined, not a good team, not a good finish. And at that stage, you had just given your quarterback an all-time record, and Drew Bledsoe is the highest-paid player in league history. Whereas this team just drafted a guy and didn't play him until halfway through the year.
Speaking of penalties, I mean, you got to bring that up because the number of penalties last week was just insane. I mean, it was just insane. Here's a texter to counter what you're saying, though, Curtis. 240. Curtis, I hear you, but give me one example where Mayo this year as head coach has...
Say it was pushing to get Drake May on the field. That was his best moment. That was a battle he had between himself and Elliott Wolf, and I think he won that power struggle.
Yeah.
And what was Bill Belichick's moment in 2000? What was the time? You know what I mean? Like, there was none.
Like, there were probably people calling for his job then. I mean, I don't recall that, but I'm sure there were. Because people were impatient in 1 year. I can remember people saying Bill, did nothing in Cleveland. He was a disaster there and blah, blah, blah.
But, well, I know after week two of 2001, there was a lot. I mean, they lost to the Bengals in week one. He went to 5-12. They lose to the Jets in the game that was played immediately after 9/11, and they go to 5-13. And people talk about all this stuff about, Bill and this. Like, Bill had the opportunity to fail in Cleveland and fail here for 2 years, on his way to 2 years, and then everything fell into place. Absent this falling into place, it will end for Gerard Mayo, unfortunately.
617-779-7937, Ken and Curtis Show. We'll have to do the Tankathon list next, up against it. Talking Soto today, talking Mayo's future, talking Kraft. Curtis has scoops out the wazoo from Celtics people you're talking to, and Red Sox, Patriots ownership sales. So I know you've been doing some scoop
I was barred from Mar-a-Lago. I was very disappointed, but I missed out. Bill Belichick. Has ever been somebody in Boston sports who was so close to a candidate that people so despised and never was grilled on it? Like, Tom Brady carries that hat in the locker to his dying day. Tomasi has, like, a dartboard with his face on it because of it. And you have Bill Belichick writing him this love letter, and it's never discussed. It's the strangest thing in the world.
It is strange, but times are strange.
And they are indeed.
That whole narrative has flipped.
Could you imagine Elon Musk and Bill's girlfriend just diagramming Doge?
Oh, boy. Ken and Curtis will be right back.